Daf is Daf Yud. So we got down around 7 lines. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah Maseches Shumos Tanan. We were talking about different concerns of sakanos. So on that topic, the Gemara says Tanan Hasam Shlosh Mashkim Asur Nishim Giloy. There are three different drinks that are subject to the concern of Giloy. Giloy means if it was left out overnight, or even not overnight, over a period of time, we'll see in a second, where there's a chashash that maybe a snake had come by and dropped off some venom, making it dangerous as sakana to drink. So what are these three? Mayim, v'yayin, v'chalav. Water, wine, and milk are all subject to the dinim of giloy. So kama yishu v'yusu asurim. How long does it have to be uncovered and unwatched for it to be asur? Kadesha yotza harechesh, which is another way of saying a nachash, for the snake to come out, mimakum karo, from a nearby place, to come out from its hiding place, v'yishu drink. How close does that snake have to come? Some Rabbi Yitzchak braid the Rabbi Yehuda, Kadesh Yatza Mitachas Ozen Kli Vyishta, that's hiding behind the handle of the Kli, really pretty close by, and then it comes out and drinks. So that, like, half a second uncovered is already considered dangerous. Where it says, Yishta, if you see it drink, Hakachadila, you see it, there's no concern. If you see a snake drinking, you're not going to drink the wine afterwards, the water or milk afterwards. Ela Yishta Vyachshalachar. The shir is that if it's in a certain hiding place underneath the handle, so the time it takes to go from the hiding place to take a drink and then go back to its hole, that is the time period that it can't be left unwatched, uncovered, which is a very short period of time, and that's the chashash of gilui. So halach lamaisa, we say the brought down Shulchan Aruch that nowadays we're not concerned because we don't live among snakes. It's not so much of a concern anymore. Others say the Pesach Tshuva brings out Pi Kabbalah. There's a chashash of ruach ra nonetheless. So it's machlokas had a paskim. Now with regards to a different dinim, it comes up. Putting in the refrigerator, putting water uncovered or milk uncovered in the refrigerator, would that be considered giloy or not? It's covered by the refrigerator door, but it's not covered on top of the container. Is that a chashash? Chazanish was makel because he felt that a snake wouldn't come into the cold refrigerator or can't even open doors. It doesn't know how to open doors. So there are those who are makel with regards to that in the refrigerator. There's also a question whether or not you're allowed to use them for nitzias yadayim or not, negavasser and stuff. Does it have to be something that's roy the shtir or not? So that's another question the Kaf HaChaim talks about, that you should have it covered. If you're leaving out water for Negavos in the morning, you should have it covered, not leave it open overnight. It wouldn't be right for Nitzias Adam. So there's a number of other halachas that relate to this particular circuit. Fine.
You don't talk about
Shadim? What?
You don't talk about Shadim with water that's Magula?
No, that I didn't see. Okay. The Gemara then says, "Itma harshochet b'sakin v'nimtes peguma." Let's say you shecht a cow, and you after you shecht, you look at the knife. It turns out there's a little cut or something in it. The halacha is, what's the status of the animal you just shechted? Beforehand, we checked the knife was good. You shechted, and now after something happened to the knife, do we assume it broke before the shechting? It's not a good shechita, or it only broke at the end? So Amar Rav Huna, afilu shiber ba'atzamos kol hayom. Pesula, chayshin and shema beor nifkuma. So let's say you shecht an animal, cow A, in the morning. And then you didn't check it, and then you started to chop bones all day long. Chopping bones is certainly going to ruin the knife. So could you say that it was the chopping of the bones that ruined the knife, but during the shechita, the first cutting of the animal that you cut, that was actually a good shechita, or not? Rav Huna says, even though you were shechting bones all day, and vade, bones will ruin it, we would have to assume the worst, that when you started shechting the animal, the first moment it hit the leather, the skin rather, it caused something to break in the knife. And right before you did the shechita, already from that point, it was a pasul sakin, and the shechita is not a good shechita. Rav Huna says, even though vade, bones break, we assume the suffix of the or actually ruined in the beginning, and even that animal is not a good, does not have a good shechita. Rav Chista says, no, amar kshera. He says it's kosher. Shema be'etzem nifkuma. It's very likely that, I think they take out the word shema here. Maybe it's emor. They say shema, emor. We attribute the breaking of the knife to that of the bones and not to that of the knife, and therefore we assume the initial shechita on the cow was a good shechita. Ah, how come the sakin is broken? Because you were cutting bones afterwards. It were the bones that broke the knife. So Bishma, Rav Huna, I understand Rav Huna, who's the first opinion, who said that Rechoshesh, that it broke with the ore when you first cut that cow, it broke initially. He makes sense, Kishmaisa. Why is Kishmaisa? So Rashi explains, if you look at Rashi halfway down, the medium lines down, or the widest line down to the Kishmaisa, Damar Le'el, we said earlier, yesterday's daf, Bechezkas Isser Omedes, an animal has a status of being Aser Ad, Sheyivadilacha, B'man Nishchata, until you know with what it chechted, V'zo Nolid Basafik B'shchita. And since we have a Safik, we weren't sure when the Sakin broke, we have to assume the worst, meaning if it's a Safik, we always assume the Chazaka. What was the Chazaka? The Chazaka is that the animal was Aser, and Rav Huna makes a lot of sense why we throw out the animal. Ella, back to the Gemara now. Ella, Rav Chista, my time. Why does Rav Chista say? Isn't there a sakin that we have a suffix when this took place? So shouldn't we just assume the status quo, which is that the animal is usser? How could he say that the animal was a good shchita? There's a broken knife in front of us now. Amalacha, he says, etzem vandai pogim. We know the bones for sure break the knife. And or suffix pogim, suffix lo pogim. The skin of the animal is a very big suffix, whether or not that has the ability to ruin a knife. And havi suffix vivadai, vein suffix motzi mi devadai. If you have two options, there's a vadai approach, that this certainly is able to accomplish something, and another approach where it's only possible it will accomplish something, we always go for the vadai. So since bones vadai break the knife, we assume it were the bones that broke the knife, and not the suffix of the leather, and therefore of the skin, and therefore the shchita was a good shchita according to Rav Chista. So Gemara now asks a question. Meisiv Rava l'siyul Rav Huna. Rava asks a question from a braisa in support of Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna is the one who holds that we have to assume the worst, that it broke from the initial shchita from the ore of that behema. So what's the question? Tavil v'Allah is a general question of Savik and Vade right now. Tavil v'Allah, the guy goes to the mikveh, he's Tovil, he comes up, and Nimsalav davar chotitz, he finds that he has a chatzitza. He has, I don't know, whatever is wrapped around his leg, let's say. So he finds he has a chatzitza. So afa pishin is asik bosa min kol yom. He was busy working with that min the whole day. I don't know. He has paint. He's a painter. So he goes into the mikveh and he comes up. And so now he's a safik whether the paint was there before the mikveh and he had a chatzitza, or it was only after when he came up he got the paint on him. So even though all day long he was painting, so lo also lo tvila, we say it's not a good tvila. Ad shiomer bari li shlo hayla kodem. So now the whole day after the tvila he was painting. So now he says, I got paint all over my arms. Maybe I had this paint before I went to the mikvah. And the Gemara says, no, we have to assume, yeah, it was before the mikvah. It's a safek. We assume it was there before the mikvah. Even though after the mikvah he was painting all day long, we assume it was there even prior. We assume the worst. Until he would say, Ad Shiomer, until he said, I know for sure, Bari li, Shilohaya alai kodim lachain. I know for sure I didn't have the paint on my body. It was a good tvila. But outside of making such a statement, we assume that the paint was there. It was a chatzitza prior. So he says, so what's the question? Vada, he did a tefila. The ma'aseh tefila was a good tefila in terms of the action. There's a question whether or not the chatzitza was there or not. The ka'asi safek umotzi midevadai. The safek of having the chatzitza is strong enough to undo the vadai tefila that he had. So too says Rav Huna in our sugya. The safek that the ore broke it and the vadai of the atzama is breaking it, we assume safek. The ore safek overrides the vadai. Here as well, the safek of the chatzitza overrides the vadai tefila. Gemara says, Shiny Hassan, the case of tefila is different. The ikalameimar hemet tamei chatzchasa. By the case of tevila, we have to assume, we don't know, it's a suffix, so let's go based on the status quo. The status quo was that person was tamei. So here, this case by the shechita is different. Mar says, how is it different? V'eima lo tavel, maybe he didn't have a tevila. Hachanami, the Gemara says, that's not good, Raya. Here as well, you have the same type of status quo. Hemar behema chazkasa v'eima lo nishchata. Let's say, what's the status quo of the shechita? The same question, we don't know when the sakin broke. So you should always fall back on the chazaka. Just like the chazaka of the tevila, the guy was tamei, the chazaka of the behema is its aser. So they should be synonymous with each other. So Gemara says, no. But right now we have an animal that shechted, so doesn't that indicate that was a good shechita? So the Gemara says, so too by tevila. Here's the guy dripping wet. He just came from the mikvah. So you can't separate the two different halachas. The problem is by tevila, there's a reyesa. What's a reyesa? Because now the guy's got paint all over his body. That's a reyesa in a great indicator that the tevila is perhaps possible. Hachanami, it's the same thing. We have the same yishalei de bei reyesa when it comes to the sakin. Right now, the sakin is broken. So everything is completely parallel. That the chazaka of the tefillah and chazaka of the behema is both aser and tameh before him. We have in front of us a good tefillah, a good shechita, and then we have a reis of a bad sakin and a chatzitza. So everything is parallel. So how can we make a distinction between the case of tefillah and that of shechita? Just like by tefillah, we assume the worst, that's not good. We should assume the same thing by shechita, that it's not good either. And the Gemara says no. The difference is sakin Israel, behema lo Israel. The knife is what's broken, is what the reisa is, but the behema, there's no reisa. What's the chepsa we're concerned with? We're concerned with the person and the behema. So the person has the reisa, he's got chatzitza on him, so as the chepsa of the what we're talking about, that person is no good. But by the behema, there's no reisa on the animal itself. There's an external reisa that the knife that was used was bad, but the animal that we're actually trying to figure out his status right now, there is no reisa in that. And therefore, you can't compare the cases. So while by the person of the tevila, the chatzitza indicates a reisa in him, we assume the worst, that's not a good tevila, we can't make that same extension to a behema, which is our concern here, that there's no reisa on the behema itself. And in this case, says Rav Chista, we would assume it's actually a good shechita. There is no raya or kashya from the case of tevila. Gemara asks another question. Now, last eight lines of the Amud here. Meisive. Shachar is a veshet, v'achakach nishmata gargeris. So I forget what's the veshet is the trachea?
Esophagus.
And then the gargeris is the
trachea.
Okay. So the lach is, let's say you shach the trachea, the veshet, and then afterwards the gargeris moves out of place. So if you look at Rashi, just for an important background here, five lines up from the bottom here, shachar is a veshet, b'of shechshir b'simen echad. Although by a behema you need two simanim to cut both simanim, the veshet and gargaris, the trachea and the esophagus, you need to cut both of them. When it comes to a bird sufficient to cut one of them, either one is fine. Two lo chashino leikor desheni. So ikor, we said before, if a simon knocks out of place, it's possible. But if you shecht the right one simon first and then the second simon knocks out of place, it's ikor. That's a good shechita when it comes to an oaf. So here what happens is you shechted the veshet, you shechted the veshet properly. Afterwards, the gargaris moved out of place. That's clear, that's fine, because you shechted the first simon properly by an oaf. Then the Gemara says, back inside, nishmata ha-gargaris. Let's say first, the gargaris moves out of place. That's ikur. And achar kach shechted es ha-veshet, but then you shecht the simon afterwards, that's psula. Because since the ikur took place prior to the shechita, that's a psula. Let's say shachar is a veshet. You shach the veshet properly, but the nimtes gargaris shmuti. Now, when after you look at the chicken, you see that the gargaris is moved out of place. It's ikur, but ein yoder im kodem shchita nishmata, im la'achar shchita nishmata. You don't know when the gargaris moved out of place. If the gargaris moved out of place before shchita, it's possible. If it only moved out of place after the shchita, it's kosher. So what's the din here? If it's a safek of when the gargaris is shmuta, says so, yeah, ma'isa. This was once an event that happened. What was the case? Amru kol safek b'shchita pasul. We say a klal every safek when it comes to shchita, we disqualify all sveikos. So what's this general rule? Why are they saying kol safek is coming to include something? So kol safek b'shchita la'asui ma'i. What's this general principle coming to include? What other case that had not yet been mentioned? Lav la'asui ki'ai gavna. Is it not referring to our case of a sakin when there's a safek when the sakin became benifkam? It's included in this statement. Meaning what? If there's a safek when the sakin became nifkam, we assume that kol safek b'shchita is pasul. So this is a raya from Rav Huna that a suffix of when the sakin is nifkama, we assume it's possible. Where it says, lo, it's not including the suffix sakin case, la suye suffix shaha, suffix daras, unclear about the certain din of shahia, one of the other psulim, or a din of the darsa, that's the suffix where we assume that kol suffix shchita pasul. When it comes to the suffix of the sakin, however, there we have no indication of how we paskin. So Gemara says, Maishna Hasim. Why? What's the difference? Maishna. How come by Suffolk Daras and Suffolk Shia we assume that's possible? But why would Rav Chisda say by Suffolk Sakin we assume Kasher? What's the difference? And so Gemara answered, because Hasim, by the case of Shia Darsa, is Yalede Be Reisa Be Meheba. The Reisa is in the animal itself. In the shehiyah of the animal, in the darts of the animal, the ikur of the animal, if it's in the chefsa that we're talking about, so then we assume the worst. Hacha, when it comes to something external, the sakin, in other words, isra'i behema, isra'i, sakin isra'i, behema lo isra'i. The reisa is only in the sakin, but in the animal itself, there is no reisa, and therefore there's room to make a distinction within that din of a sakin. So Gemara now says, bottom line, how do we paskin here? Hilchasa, Kavasei de Rav Huna. We pass on Rav Huna, who again said, Rechoshesh, perhaps it became Nifkema in the ore. That's only true, Kishelo Shibar Be'etzem. A person didn't cut bones all day. He shechted an animal, and then he didn't cut bones afterwards. So the only thing you can assume is it must have broken on the leather, the skin of the animal. So when there are no bones were cut, you only have one choice to look, is that it got cut, it got ruined from the leather, the skin, and therefore we thought the initial shechita. However, in a situation, Hilchas HaKavasi Rav Chista, we pass like Rav Chista, who permits the shechita, Kishashibar Ba'etzim. If you break a bone afterwards, so then you say, the reason why the knife is broken, because I cut a bone with it. But it wasn't broken before this, when I shechted the animal initially, that was a good shechita, because since you could attribute the pagam of the sakin to a bone later on, you're able to assume before you cut the bone, it was a good sakin, and therefore the shechita was good. That's how we paskin, bottom line. Gemara now says, just a side point for a moment, mechlal de Rav Chista af agav de lo shibur be'etzem, selva ma'ifka. So what the Gemara is inferring from here is, in the case, the Gemara said, we hold like Rav Huna, when the guy cut a cow, he shechted a cow, but did not cut any bones afterwards, so that, and now we find that the sakin is broken, we have to assume that it broke with the skin of the animal. So Gemara says, that implies that Rav Chista argues in that case and says that in that case we'd actually say it's still kosher. How come it be kosher? If you shecht just one animal, I checked this knife, it's a good knife, I shecht the animal, just one cow, I shecht it, and look, afterwards it broke. So shouldn't Rav Chista have to agree that it broke with the skin when he initially cut into the skin? And shouldn't he agree then that the shechita is possible? So the Gemara says, no, even in that case, Ella, b'may ifkem, ema be'etem, demafrekes ifkem. It's still possible when you shech the cow, it doesn't necessarily have to become broken from the skin. There's also bones that are in the neck of the cow. So when you shech the different simanim, you could hit part of the bone, part of the spine that's in the neck area, and that's how it could break. So that's another way Rav Chista would say, even though you shech just one animal and the knife broke, it's possible it broke from the bone. You cut the simanim perfectly, and then only afterwards you hit one of the bones, the back of the neck. Right, you cut in front of the animal's neck, underneath. So you cut underneath it, there are no bones there, you cut right in, and then the back, you hit the spine, it cracks with hitting the spine. So that's where it broke, which was after the shechita was already over. Even in that case, Rav Chista would hold, it's a good shechita because you attribute the pagam on the bone in the back of the neck. But we pass, and otherwise, we assume like Rav Huna in that case, if you weren't cutting bones that day, we assume it got ruined in the beginning of the shechita, it got stuck on the skin in the beginning. Fine. The Gemara now says, Hava Uvda, there's once a Maisa, halachic situation, Vitara for Rav Yosef ad Tlesar Chayusa. And Rav Yosef had rendered 13 different animals trefos. What was the case? The Yeshoche didn't check the knife in between each one. He checked the 13 animals, and then he checked the knife, and he said, wait a second, this knife is a pugum. So Rav Yosef says, every single animal you cut, we have to assume it's possible. So come on, who does this whole like? This is whole like Rav Huna, Vafilu B'Kamai. So this is like the Shita of Rav Huna, that even the first animal is possible. Right? We assume when you cut the skin initially, right, the first animal that's ruined the knife, and every animal thereafter is using a Sakin Nifkuma. Where it says, lo, not like Rav Huna, this is like Rav Chista, Ulebar Mikamaisa. So what happens here is that no, the first Shita was good. Rav Chista never assumes that the skin can ruin the knife. So the first animal is good, but after you first shecht the first animal, you hit the bone in the back, the neck, that ruined the knife, so then all the 12 other ones are going to be possible because you now have a broken knife. But the first one is not that good because skin is never going to ruin the knife. Gemara says, Ebi's aim alternatively, Li'olam k'Rav Huna, really passing like Rav Huna, that we are choshesh, that the skin has the ability to ruin the knife. Why does it have to be this way? Because the ik Rav Chista, if you're holding like Rav Chista's pshat, michli, let's understand this for a moment. Mitli talinan mimai, we have to assume that what? That the only way this animal got, rather, the only way the knife got ruined, he assumes it can't get ruined from the skin, it only could have gotten ruined from the mafrekes, from the bone, the spine. So if you assume it got broken from the spine, mimai de be'etem de mafrekes de kamaisa ifkam, dema be'etem de mifrika de basraisa ifkam. Who knows which animal's neck is the one that caused it to get ruined? Maybe it was not the first animal's mafrekes that ruined it, maybe it was the last animal that he shechted, and maybe the first 12 should really be kosher. And therefore, since it's unclear for Rav Chista, Rav Huna is a safer approach that the skin of the first animal ruined it, and that's how why Rav Yosef rendered all those animals trefus. Okay. You're supposed to check them between each one, exactly. Yeah. If what happens is if you shecht 13 and the knife is still good, you can assume all 13 were good. You didn't have to check in between. Like when they shecht the chickens, at least what I saw, they didn't check between every single, there were a bunch of them. If you find one that's pugum, they may have to render the previous 10 all puzzle. So I don't know what the procedure is in terms of cows. Cows are more expensive than a chicken to lose a whole cow. So I'm guessing they check in between each cow, but I don't know for sure. Now, Amr le Rav Achav Rei D'Rava, Rav Ashi, Rav Kana Machach Bidigusa Bein Kolchad V'chada, Rav Kana required that you check the knife in between each and every shechita. Come on, who does this whole like? Ki Rav Huna Ulemifso Kamaisa. It's like Rav Huna, because the concern is if you don't check, so then what's going to happen is then you have to passel every single shechita, even the first one after the first bidika. So you want to prevent that from happening, therefore you require checking in between each shechita. Mar says, lo, krev chista, ulach shri basraisa. No, really like krev chista. Krev chista always assumes the best. If you shech 13 animals, you check the knife, it's good, you shech 13, and after 13 you check it's broken, krev chista holds only the 13th one is possible. You assume that only it happened that broken at the end. But the first 12 are all good. So why do you have to check? Because you want to save the last one. We always assume the last one. So why do you want to ruin the 13th animal? So therefore, he says you should check in between each animal this way, at least to save the last animal that you were shechted. So Gemara says, if that's the case, tibay nami bidikas chacham. So now you have to bring a chacham over every single time you want to shecht it. You want to shecht the cow, you bring the mashkiach over, please look at the knife. That becomes, long extended. Where it says, no, eidecha neman b'isurim. You don't need a bidikas chacham. Eidecha. It's a dealing with isurim here. The isur of shechita and the isur of nevela and stuff. So we trust the person. There's a concept. Eidecha is neman b'isurim. There's interesting Rashi. I'm not going to read through because we're running out of time. But the last few narrow lines here, he has a very interesting source of eidecha neman b'isurim. It goes against everyone else who brings the idea, the concept of eidecha neman b'isurim. It's based on a shachas ben abakar, which is not what anyone else says here. But interesting Rashi, those who have time. Either way, he says, you don't need B'dikas Chacham, because in Eid Echad, the Shochet's in Eid Echad, he's able to testify on Isurim that this was a good Shechita, that we trust his B'dika. So, Yach, if that's the case, Mekar Namilo. So why do you have to ever show a Chacham the B'dika if you trust the Shochet himself? Ha'am Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan teach us that Lo Amru Laharo Sakin L'Chacham, Elam B'dei Kvod L'Shechacham? Really, you don't have to show the Sakin to a Chacham. Midin Isurim, I could look at the knife myself, and you trust me, Eid Echad is not B'isurim. Why then do we ever show a chacham? Just to show kavod, just to show him honor. Mashiach walks in, you show him kavod, here take a look at the knife. Nothing more than showing kavod to the chacham. In terms of the halachas of Isurim though, you don't have to show him the knife. So therefore the initial time you start the day, Mashiach please takes a look. All the other checks, the shochet himself is able to check. Very important Gemara right now. This is the source for chazaka in all of Torah. How do we know that chazaka is something that we trust in general? What's the source of chazaka? We go based on a status quo. So damar d'rabban, rabban hold, oki milsa achazkai. How do we know that the chacham followed the previous chazaka, whether it be aser, whether it be mutter? Amar Rebbe Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Yonasan, Amar Kvad HaPasuk says, by negoim, by teras, v'yotza karin min abayis, the karin after inspecting the house for teras, he leaves the house, el pesach abayis, he goes to the entranceway, v'hiskir sabayis, and he closes off the house for shiva Yom for 7 days. So Dilma Adinafik Vasa Batalashira. Maybe the moment he left the house, the nega shrunk underneath the size and no longer was Tameh. How could he assume it was the same size the moment it was in the house from the time he left the house? Maybe it got smaller. Ella must be La Mishum Damrina Oki Achazka. So he was in the house, it was a certain size. He left. So maybe it changed. No, we always assume the previous status, and since the previous status had their proper shear, he's able to assume that right now. This is the basis for chazaka in Kol HaTorah Kula. So Gemara says the problem with this din is Maskev Rav Acha Bar Yaakov V'dilma Kagon Shiyatza Derech Achorav. Maybe he was walking backwards, so he's able to see as he's out walking in the house. He could see the nega there, so nothing ever changed. But he walked out the regular way, and he didn't see what was going on behind him. Maybe in Echanami he couldn't assume the chazaka and couldn't render that house Tameit Neged Saras. Gemara says, again, Derech Achorav Kinafik. He was walking backwards. He was able to watch the neg as he left. So Amalei Abai says there's shtei tshuvos b'davar. There are two problems with that suggestion that he walked out backwards. Chada, number one is the yitzia derech achorav lo shma yitzia. We never find exiting backwards is called yitzia. Yitzia means walking out regularly facing outside. Number two is achorei hadelas ma'ikle meimar. Let's say the tzaras was behind the door. which he can't see. Even if he does walk backwards, he can't see what's behind the door. What are you going to explain in that case? So it must be, therefore, we do rely on the chazaka of the previous status and the previous shir of the Neged Saras. The Chitem, if you're going to tell me, maybe the Pasuk Bei Kavsa, he was looking through the window. He was outside the house staring into the window to watch the Neged Saras. I see it's the same size. I could call it a Saras. Can't be true, because the Pasuk, the Mishnah tells us, V'atnan, Beis Eifel, a dark house, Ain poschlo bo chalonos lirosis nego. You can't open up the shades. You have to actually close the windows using whatever's natural there. You can't open anything up when checking out the Neged Saras. So you can't peer through the window. So therefore, it must be that he was walking out backwards. Otherwise, how else could he assume? He's walking out regularly, and he just assumed that even though he can't see it, he is able to assume that it's still the same size. Gemara says, no, Amrle, Rava, the commerce, that's what you ask about Yitziyah Dech Achar of Loshma Yitziyah. Walking out backwards isn't called Yitziyah? It is called Yitziyah. Maybe he was walking out backwards and he was able to see it. Where do we see that walking out backwards is called Yitziyah? Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippur Miochiach. What happened to the Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippur? He goes in the Kodesh Kedoshim, and Dechsib Bei Yitziyah, he walks out. It's not in the Mishnah tells us in Masechas Yuma, Yatsu Balo Derech Kinisah. So he walks out the same way he came in, which means he walks out backwards facing the Aron Kodesh, the Kodesh Kedoshim. He walks out, and that's called Yitziyah, even though he's walking backwards. So maybe here by the Kohen, when he's checking the Neged Saras, Yitziyah means he's walking out backwards, and he's watching the Saras at the same time. And therefore, it's not based on chazaka. And moreover, the Gemara says, "V'tekamis." That's what you said. Based eifel ain poskin lo chalonos liros nego. Then you can't look inside the window to see the nega. Honey mila heichadol es chazik. That's only true if you didn't create a chazaka in the first place that there's nega tzras. Aval heichad this chazik is chazik. But once you see that there's a chazaka, you went inside the house. The coin went inside the house. All the windows are closed. He sees, oh, that's a nega tzras. Once you establish this atras in there, then you are able to look in the windows from the outside and based on what you saw earlier. In other words, there is a way to explain that how come the Kohen can render teras only if he's able to see the Neged Saras, but he can't rely on his chazaka, so Neged Saras cannot be the proof. Gemara says no. There's a tiny, there's a brisa that goes against the loka of Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov tried to refute this source of chazaka. The brisa is going to prove to us that no, by the Neged Saras, the Kohen is relying on the chazaka. What's the proof? It says in the brisa of Yotza, Kohen min habayis, he leaves the house, yachol yelech letoch beis. Maybe he should go all the way to his own house, to the Kohen's house, and he can render it v'hiskir from his house. Tamalomar el Pesach Habayis. He needs to be from the entrance or the exit of the house that has the teras, not his own house. E Pesach Habayis, if you think of the entranceway of the house, Yachol Yamot Tachas Amashkov, he should stand below the lintel, he should stay below there in order to render it teras. The Yaskir and say this is a teras in this house. Tamalomar, Min Habayis, he must leave Ad Yotzei Min Habayis Kula, he must leave the house entirely. So there's a need for Yetziah. Fine. How does he do this exactly? Omed betzada mashkov. He stands next to the mashkov on the outside. Umaski, and he renders this house a neged saras. Umnayin shehim halach letoch beisa. How do you know if he incorrectly went all the way back home to his own house? The Kohen left the neged saras house, went to his home wherever he lives in the Kohen's house, or shomer besoch habayis, or he stands inside the house even though he's supposed to leave the house. Hiskir shisgiro muska. How do you know b'diavad all this works anyways? Tamalomer v'hiskir habayis mikol malkum. If he calls the house neged saras no matter where he is, b'diavad is always acceptable. So that means even when the Kohen goes back to the Kohen's own house, he can't see the teras. His hesker works. Must be that. Why does it work? Because we do in fact rely on the chazaka. To finish off for the very next two lines, and we'll stop here. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he says, Kigon, how does he explain this? How could the Kohen call it teras if he's not actually near the house? He can't see it. He suggests, Kigon, the kaime dari de gavre amid the kakai. There's a whole line of people saying, all the way from the Kohen's house to the Neged Saras house, saying it's still there, still there, still there, the same size, and the Kohen says, ah, Neged Saras. Everyone have a wonderful day. Afreilachin. Chanukah, and a good Shabbos.